Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. Guess what? My old, dear friend.
Old?
Who's calling who's old? Todd Huckabee's in the house. I wish you were at my house because then we could go out there and go crappie fishing. You could show me a thing or two.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but I want to go catch some of those big striper.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do both, really, to tell you the truth. Both of them like going out in the middle and just going around chasing shad. So
yeah. That
works out pretty good. Kyle's here. Kale's. Yeah. Kale's here. Kale's, what's your last name?
Ward.
Ward. Just met you. Just find out a few things about you. And so for the people that don't know a lot about you, tell us a little bit about your history.
Well, I guess unlike Todd, I would say I'm kind of a new age crappie fisherman or guide. You know, I started out crappie fishing. I'm from Meade, Oklahoma, which is right on the banks pretty much of Lake Texoma. Grew up in southern Oklahoma and cut my teeth there on Texoma crappie fishing. Brush pile fishing, you know, fishing structure, wood structure, lay down stumps, brush piles.
Uh-huh.
Pre-live scope, you know, doing everything.
Right.
Probably the wrong way, to be honest with you, but caught crappie and had a good time. And I always said I wanted to, you know, get into the guiding for crappie and stuff. I followed Todd, knew who he was up on Eufaula prior to me ever guiding or us ever knowing each other, and kind of fell into the guiding all about the same time LiveScope kind of come out. I had a big bass fishing background, fished a lot of bass tournaments, and kind of fell into the crappie guiding, and kind of that was, like I said, I'm trying to think, around 2019, I guess, is when that was, and LiveScope had just come out, and I just bought the LiveScope for bass fishing, honestly, and it just, they worked hand in hand, and obviously we've seen the progression of forward-facing sonar and crappie fishing the last several years, and got into guiding kind of as a part-time gig, and then now it's, you know, how I make a living. I do it full-time. Also travel and fish a few tournaments, some, you know, different tournaments, Crappie Masters, and some state trail stuff as well. I've been pretty successful with that.
He's being very, very modest about that. Anybody listening knows who Kale is. So.
I kind of got into, like I said, I fell into it at the right time and got handed some great opportunities through, you know, different companies and different people. You know, guys like Todd, you know, give me an opportunity when I first started and you know, with some sponsorship on the rod side of things, and Todd and Ken, and then, you know, like Jerry Hancock is one that's been around doing this for years before, you know, I ever come into the picture and was successful. Some of them guys kind of just took me underneath their wing and helped pave the way for me to get to where I'm at now. And
again,
I've just been blessed. I've worked hard at it and run a pretty successful guide business that covers about 8 different lakes. I got a home lake. I fish about 8 different lakes in southern Oklahoma and North Texas. I kind of bounce around, chase fish multiple different, I guess, kind of ways and different numbers and sizes, kind of whatever suits the customers the best or what they prefer to do. And then, like I said, traveling, fishing tournaments, and that's about it.
There you go. That takes us over to Todd. Todd? I don't remember. We used to go to Bassmaster Classic together and hang out. And
it was a long time ago.
That was pretty funny. Some of those things I don't even remember. But I do remember we did go on a photo shoot. And the one photo shoot I went and I thought I took the perfect, greatest photo of Todd. Like literally the fish is up and it's slapping water. And, it, you know, you got the angler and you got the whole boat. And I don't remember what the name of the sponsor was on the side of his boat.
Hold on. But it was Assurance. So the first 3 letters were ASS. And all he got in that picture was www.ASS.
Greatest photo ever. Nope. Greatest photo I never got to use.
Right.
That was so funny. I go back to my house. I'm like, and then I'm like on the phone. I'm like, oh my God, you will not believe this.
So that was at Table Rock.
Yes, that was at Table Rock.
We had that huge hotel is what we were there for. It was for the tourism department. We had that huge hotel in the back. And yeah, it was perfect all except for a little bit of cropping.
Time. One small little thing. Sometimes it's the small things that get you. Right. Let's talk about fishing rods with you. Talk about the small things. What makes your rods, what does it separate? You know, how do you separate that? And you know, you're like, this is what I was looking for in a rod.
Well, whenever I first started guiding over 20 right. years ago,
yeah,
I wanted a long rod, but it didn't fit with my style of a heavier bait. So the right. heavier bait and the only long rods on the market at the time were very, very limber.
Right.
So I had a cousin, or still have a cousin, but living in Oregon, and I had gone up there and had gone steelhead fishing.
Right.
And they were using 10, 11, 12-foot rods for steelhead, but the rod had a lot of backbone.
Right.
So I brought some back, and that's what I used. And then it went from there to me signing with Quantum and designing rods for them. Gary Dollahan yeah. brought me on board and designed rods for Quantum, and it just kind of snowballed from there. Now we've got Power Fishing, which is the mother company of Power Crappie, and uh-huh. we make rods from 6 foot all the way up to 18 foot. So, and it's kind of like Kale talking about how he stumbled into what he's doing, and very, very, very dominant national champion this year by himself. And it is a team trail, and he fished it by himself. And I saw right. him on the water because I was guiding when he was out there. He's a maniac. But kind of like he was talking about when he fell into this. So we already had these long rods that have a lot of backbone.
Uh-huh.
And then we had them on the market already, and then all of a sudden forward-facing sonar comes out, people start targeting bigger fish. And then when they started doing that, they started realizing the importance of having a rod with a lot of backbone. Because now there's no guessing if that was a big fish or not. And
right.
and when you would miss that big fish, you'd say, well, I wonder why I missed him. Well, a lot of times it's because you didn't actually get the hook set good enough. So with a rod oh. that's got a lot of backbone, you know, for years and years, everybody said our rods were, or my rods were like pull cues or whatever, because they right. were too stiff. And so it just kind of worked out that we already had them on the market when there was a demand for them. And that's really what's pushed that success. And, you know, not only that, but having guys like Kale and Jerry and all of our pro staff guys that are kind of the best at what they do.
Right.
So that doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't hurt. And believe it or not, back in the day, I wrote lots of articles about how he caught fish and literally how they caught fish before forward facing. And so you, in a way, said, like, you started your fishing career before it, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I started before, but, I mean, again, it was minimal compared to now, you know. And right. what I mean by that is I didn't start guiding till actually one of the first guide trip I run, forward-facing sonar, was on my boat.
Right.
But what I'm saying is I learned or caught, you know, crappie fished, you know, a decent amount prior to it, you know, just on text on one, like I said, right. just the – but a lot has, from when I started and talked to now where we're at in the crappie fishing world,
right.
a lot's changed. You know, I mean, the things I did back then is 110% different than what I do now. It's changed right. my approach. And like I said, that's kind of what I would say. We had this talk earlier with some of us out there, and you know, old school fishing is still fun and great, but at the end of the day, I'm a new school fisherman. You know, kind of crappie fisherman. I am.
Right.
I'm good at what I do, I guess, and it works for me, and I've been successful, and I don't want to change. I want to keep continuing. This is where I think, for now, this is where the sport's heading, and that's the kind of the direction I want to go and continue to go. And some of the, don't get me wrong, there's a million ways to catch crappie.
Right.
I mean, there's
that's a great thing about crappie fishing.
That's a great thing. There's I tell clients all the time, you know, get in the boat, and I am trying to teach. This is the way I do it. That ain't the only way you can do it. You know, there's at the end of the day, there'll be more crappie caught underneath a cork and a minnow off the banks than I'll ever catch, you know, the rest of my life. And that's right. the deal with just off, you know, a bank and a cane pole and, you know, cork and a minnow. That's the great thing about crappie fishing. There's a million ways you can do it, but I'm just choosing the, you know, the forward facing sonar, the cover, run and gun, cover a lot of water, catch bigger fish, target individual fish. You know, you kind of know what you're what you're about to catch before your bait ever goes in the water, if you can get it to, you know, bite. That's the approach I'm going, and it's more efficient. That's the reason I say that is, you know, is we can kind of dictate what size we catch, and, you know, we can kind of dictate how we're, you know, how fast we're catching them, what pace we're catching them. It just allows us to put more fish in a boat more efficiently, I guess is what I'm saying. And that's just what it works for me. And again, I've kind of developed a way of fishing that's worked for me and been very successful. And that's, I mean, I'm going to, that's just what, again, I'm easiest way to put it. I'm just kind of new school from what Todd was doing 20 years ago when y'all were shooting them videos, you know, or whatever. But, yeah.
You know, the biggest difference to me is, and you keyed on it, I get asked a lot, hey, what do you think about forward-facing sonar? Should it be allowed and this and that? And, yes, for 20 years before forward-facing sonar, we still caught 100 fish a day, keepers on Eufaula. It wasn't. Right. But it was taking me 8 hours to do it. Now I can do it in four.
Right.
So anybody who does any job out there, whether you're a mechanic or a plumber or an electrician, if you get paid the same amount, but you can cut those hours in half, you're going to buy that tool.
Right.
It's no different than somebody who's putting in irrigation, whether they dig that ditch by hand or they buy a machine that'll dig that ditch for them. Eventually, they're going to go that route because it's cutting so much time. And like you say, it makes you more efficient.
Yeah.
And it's taught me, I've learned as much in the last 2 years even as I did in the whole beginning of my career, because now I can see how fish behave, you know, so there is no guessing anymore. You know, this, I don't know if anybody saw it, but 6 years ago I did a podcast and I got on there and I said, okay, I'm going to try to get ahead of the game here. I'm going to tell you where I've been right and where I've been wrong about everything I've said over the last 25 years, because a lot of that stuff that I used to say was completely wrong. Some of it was 100%
because you couldn't see really the reaction of the fish.
It was all just our opinion. It was just, it was a complete and total guess of what we thought. Now there is no guessing anymore. You know, Kel and I can talk on the phone about what's going on certain lakes, and now we don't argue anymore because we're both seeing the same thing. Which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. So in a nutshell, tell us in a nutshell, where were you wrong the most and where were you right the most on forward facing?
I was wrong the most on telling people that they didn't need a little jig or live bait.
Okay.
Because I caught them every day with the big bait, but I had to cover a lot of water and put it in front of a lot more fish. So I was wrong the most about that. The thing I was right the most about is how many fish live on the bottom.
Lots.
Way more than lots.
More than lots.
Yes. 99% of the crappie, I think, in any given lake spend a big portion of every day sitting on the bottom.
Wow.
Wouldn't you agree?
Good to know.
And that's probably the big, there's some fish that we can see with forward facing sonar sitting on bottom.
Right.
But a lot of the fish, like what he's talking about, are fish that we can't even see or target. And the only way to catch them fish is going back the old school way. And a lot of these fish, like what he's saying, I think majority of the fish at any given time is probably on bottom. You know, there's times where I disagree with that, and that's summer thermocline situation or whatever, when they can't be on bottom. But for the most part, I almost feel like that's when they're in that dormant, inactive state. They can just go lay up on bottom and sleep, rest, whatever they're doing. And once they get up, they'll come up off the bottom and get active feed or whatever. And we see it. I mean, you could take what he's kind of, what Todd's referring to is obviously use Eufaula, for instance, 100,000 acre lake. So fish have got fins to swim and move. But there's, you can go get on a, you know, 20 acre private lake and go out there at 8 a.m. in the morning, go round and round and round and round and never see a crappie. And you're like, man, they're just here yesterday or whatever. And then at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you can't point your forward face sonar in a direction and not see one. Obviously, them fish didn't leave. They didn't fly and come back. Is that there's, so there's only one place for them fish to be, and that's on bottom, you know. And I also feel like certain times we'll get on a certain area or and stretch, and we'll fish, and you go through it today, and you'll catch a limit. Come back tomorrow, and you go down that stretch and catch a limit. And you go down that stretch the next day, third, three, four, five, six, 7 days in a row, and you catch a limit. And you think, man, this place, they swim back and reload. And I think a lot of them fish has been there the whole time. It's just there was X amount of fish that was up, and, you know, a higher percentage of fish was on bottom. And just every day you're coming through there, them right. same fish was in the same area. It's just, you know, what fish was up in the water column and active when you fished it, you know. So
right. So yeah. How are you, what's the presentation you're using to get those fish off the bottom?
Well, so like, well, actually when I won this year, I won the 2025 Crappie Master National Championship on Lake Eufaula.
Uh-huh.
And them fish, I caught majority of them fish on bottom. They were shallower, right. On creek channel ledges and right up on top of the ledge on the flat on the shallow side. And they were fish sitting on bottom. And to be honest with you, I'm not going to say I lucked into them because I was looking for them, but I kind of stumbled on something. And actually, I like to fish super fast, cover a lot of water. And these fish, if you did that, you would miss them to a certain extent. And they were around structure, not necessarily on structure, but around structure. So as long as I was around that structure, a lot of them, I would almost pull up to the structure and not even fish, just leave my boat still. And then fish would almost spook a little bit and get up and show themselves. They would
right.
come up off the bottom. Some of them you could see sitting there, but for me is how I kind of found it is I turn my gain on my I run Garmin LiveScope as my forward face sonar, and I turn my gain way, way, way down, way below what I normally did. And it allowed me to see some of them fish that I couldn't see before. And like I said, a couple of my tournament fish that I caught, honestly, I never knew they were there. I'd be fishing for one fish and all of a sudden it'd come up off the bottom to kind of spook to get away from my boat presence. And they wasn't spooking and just leaving the country, but they'd get up and swim 8 or 10 foot and stop. And I'd just drive right over and put a bait on their nose and catch them. But I'm running a vertical, running a, you know, power fishing Todd Huckabee rod or Jerry Hancock Signature Series rod. And I'm running, you know, generally for me, a 13 to 15 foot rod.
Uh-huh.
And I am single pole, long pole, straight vertical fishing. I'm not pitching. Okay. I'm not casting. And I'm going to run the biggest weight line that I can get away with. I generally are going to run, you know, I've kind of transitioned to running a lot more fluorocarbon in the last year or so. But I run generally 12 or 15 pound fluorocarbon or 20 pound braid. Don't get me wrong, I'll downsize. But I'm typically going to go with the heaviest jig head, not necessarily the biggest profile, but I'm always going to run the biggest jig head, the biggest weight. I typically run at some kind of egg sinker or bullet weight above my jig for one reason. Everything I'm doing is to be fast. And the heavier, more weight that I can put on that line, the faster I can get it on a fish's nose, the better off I am. So I'm fishing fast. You take wind, you take spooky fish, whatever into the equation, extra weight gets butt. There's a time where they're not always going to bite that bigger head or whatever is good, and you got to downsize. So I'm always going to go with as heavy as what the fish will allow me to use and still, you know, get bites and be successful at putting them in the boat. So it's a power, you know, the term power fishing, power crappie, you know, comes into play good for me because it's a power, go fast. It's not really a finesse approach the way I'm doing it, you know. And it can be, there's days where it's very frustrating, very hard, but it's also some of the funnest, most action packed fishing at times that you can get. So.
All right. Well, that sounds good. That takes us up to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, has a complete line of hard and soft baits. You can go out there and catch everything from bass to walleye to stripers to white bass, everything. We got it all. And you can catch them on any of those game fish on those Pico Lures. Check them out at picolures.com. You can also go to our sponsor, B&M Pole. They have a complete line of rods for everything from catfish to brim to trout, you name it, crappie, they got a pole. You can find them at bnmpole.com. We'll start with you, Kale. If they wanted to find out more, where would they go?
So pretty much everything I do is either directly or through Facebook.
Okay.
My Facebook, I have a personal page under Kale Ward, and then I've also got my guide my guide business page, which is Reeling Them In Guide Service. Again, I'm located in Southern Oklahoma, guide Southern Oklahoma and North Texas. But they can also reach out to me, you know, via phone or text message. And that number is 580-579-0124.
All right. Todd, my old dear friend.
Facebook, Instagram, Todd Huckabee, or give me a call, 405-520-8980.
I feel like we should remember another thing that we did, you know, back in the day. But I think telling the one story is enough for now. We'll
that
get you back.
That sums all of it up. Right there.
That sums all our adventures of being sitting there and all of a sudden things happen. And so great times. And I appreciate you being on the show. And
you bet. Thanks for having me.
And that long-term friendship that we had.
Yes, sir.
Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.